The Hawaii Sports Radio Network on 95.1 FM and AM 760 presents Wake Up in the Den with Kuule Ogbayani.
Good morning, beautiful people. Let's wake up in the den.
How's it going, everybody? Apologies for some quick microphone issues. Working on that as our Kuule Ogbayani figures it out.
Does this one work?
It sounds a little bit better. There we go.
Okay. Whoa, that was interesting.
That was very strange.
Yeah, I'm glad you at least had the same look on your face, because if it was just my headphones, I would have just kept going, but you had the same look too. Anyways, rewind. Good morning, beautiful people. It's Wake Up in the Den alongside Paul Brecht. I'm Kuule Ogbayani with a different microphone. That was really, really weird. All right, we're going to have to...
Freaked me out.
Alan Mia, who usually tunes in the morning on his drive here. You heard that, so got to get a new microphone. Anywho, luckily we have multiple microphones in here, so we'll just switch it up a little bit, ever so slightly. At least the second one works. Woo! All right, let's go.
I never in doubt.
Keeping us on our toes today on this Tuesday morning, April 16th. My goodness, halfway through the month already. Hope everyone got all their taxes done yesterday, or at least filed your extensions, because I know that's what a lot of people do as well. They're like, I don't want to deal with it. Even though, like, we're into the first quarter of the year, and we'll just change it up. Anywho, all right, a lot of basketball talk to get into today. We will chat about the WNBA draft that took place yesterday in just a little bit. Also want to continue our NBA conversation that we started towards the end of the show yesterday, but kind of got ran out of time, as we always seem to do anytime we're chatting about all things, especially recapping Max Holloway's win. I could have just talked about that for the entire hour, but nonetheless, change it up a little bit. But today we will take a look at least the play-in tournament matchups and when those games will take place, and ahead to the teams that are already in the NBA playoffs, as the Clippers are tentatively scheduled to have their first game on the 21st. So we will chat some NBA, and yeah, anything can happen today, apparently, because I don't know anymore, because live radio, folks, live radio. This is what happens.
But over here looking, trying to figure out if I did.
No, I don't think so. But I don't know what's going on with this microphone. We'll figure it out after. Like I said, point is, at least we have another microphone that works just
baby. Come
fine.
On.
Yes. All right. Looking ahead, or looking not ahead. Looking back to yesterday. See, Paul.
This is what happens when we get a little bit of craziness to open up our Tuesday. It's okay.
It's okay.
Let's rewind it 15 seconds.
That's why I had to rewind completely and do my intro all over again.
Absolutely.
Because I'm like, it is just going to feel really weird if I don't do the full good morning to everybody. But yes, WNBA draft yesterday, the likely most watched WNBA draft in history. Tickets were sold out to the event on location. You saw tons of fans. The Indiana Fever had 17,000 tickets claimed for their watch party inside their arena. Free tickets, but claimed so that they showed the video of all the fans in attendance going crazy, including some of Caitlin Clark's new teammates that were in attendance as well, watching it. And everyone just went nuts. Her teammates even put on Caitlin Clark jerseys, which I thought were pretty cool, because I know there's been the quote unquote drama, especially with Diana Taurasi and all this stuff about veterans and rookies, yada, yada, yada. So it was nice to see her current teammates celebrating her selection. Before we talk about it, though, and get into the picks here, for those that missed it, we'll let you hear for yourself the big announcement with the number one overall pick, and then hear what Caitlin had to say following being picked when she was interviewed by Holly Rowe.
With the first pick in the 2024 WNBA draft, the Indiana Fever select Caitlin Clark, University of Iowa.
Well, Caitlin, you write this goal down when you're a little girl, but it's a different reality when you hear your name called. What's kind of coursing through you right now?
I got a little anxious there before the pick, but I think more than anything, just grateful and lucky to have my family here, my friends over there, coaches up here. So I think just enjoying the moment. Like you said, like I've dreamed of this moment since I was in second grade, and it's taken a lot of hard work, a lot of ups and downs, but more than anything, just trying to soak it in.
I think one of the things we lose sometimes when we talk about you is this has taken a lot of really hard work to be standing here. What is the work you've put in that you are proud of to be in this moment?
I think the biggest thing is, like, I always just believed in myself. I went to Iowa with the goal of taking us to the Final Four. We did it twice. We went to 2 national championships, 4 Big Ten championships. Yeah, there's my teammates. They're pretty awesome. And I think just a belief in myself, and my parents always instilled confidence in me from a young age when I was a young girl. And I think that's something a lot of young girls can learn to have. And I think people supporting them certainly helps. So, I think the biggest thing is the confidence. But I told my mom before this is, like, you know, I earned it, and that's why I'm so proud of it.
You did earn this moment. The Indiana Fever, I know people are going crazy in Indiana for you right now. This is a once proud franchise that have got to get back to winning ways. What will you bring immediately that will translate to this league that will help them win?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is, like, they have such a good roster, and that's what I'm excited about. Like you said, like, they're a winning franchise. You know, I'm excited to get there. I'm excited to get to Indianapolis. I know there's a lot of people, Aaliyah right here, I know there's a lot of people at Gainbridge tonight supporting us and the picks that we're going to make. So, you know, I know they'll be supporting all summer long. You got to buy your tickets now. I know it'll be a hot ticket, but I think the biggest thing is just do me, have fun, smile. I've loved playing basketball since I was a young girl, and that's not going to change.
Okay, last question. You love writing down the goals. We know that from your goal sheet. What will be a number one goal this season?
Man, I think the biggest thing is just be myself and have fun. And if I do that, I think the rest is going to take care of itself.
Okay, I thought you were going to say win, but we'll take that.
I think we all thought she was going to say win. But that was Caitlin Clark with the overall number one overall pick in the WNBA draft. Caitlin Clark, rookie contract. $338,056. 2024 would be about $76,000. And it goes up to $78,000, $85,000, and 2027 with the $97,582 option. So not too shabby. Again, for people who are like, blah, 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 she's like, without staying at Iowa, she's going to miss out. Iowa, she didn't take any money from the Iowa Collective, and you can't get paid technically for just playing. And apparently there are still people out there that think her endorsements, aka her name, image, and likeness, will just disappear going to the WNBA draft. So now she gets that salary, the base salary of $76,000, which, knowing Caitlin, it's pretty much at this point, because she's signed such massive deals with, like, Gatorade, State Farm. So the $76,000.
She had 3 commercials during the draft with insurance companies.
It's awesome.
She's fine. She's going to totally be fine for everyone pocket watching her. It's so weird to me.
I'm stoked for Caitlin. You know, no, it was no secret. It's similar to when we look ahead at the NFL draft next week, that the number one overall pick is pretty much locked in. I would say quite a few picks were locked in going through just the first round, at least for now. The LA Sparks drafted Cameron Brink.
Yeah, that's my girl right there. Woo!
The supermodel who happens to be really, really good at playing basketball. And fun fact, though, interesting full circle moment. Well, a couple of full circle moments. If you guys didn't know, her godparents are the Currys. Yes. So her godbrothers are Steph Curry and what's the other brother's name?
Seth Curry. Seth, and their little sister. Yeah. Sydney, I think.
So that's her godparents that she grew up with. So, and I saw posts on social media of, like, Steph Curry holding her as a baby, and it's super cute. But also her mom worked for Nike and was part of the team that designed Dawn Staley's shoe when Dawn Staley used to play. And now her daughter is being drafted into the WNBA. So, full circle moment. It's pretty awesome. Dawn Staley obviously was in attendance to support her players in the draft.
Also, low moving costs. Stanford to the LA Sparks, you know, same state. Tell you what, low moving costs is smart right there. You don't have to pay extra. It's good business by the Sparks, especially because they had a second pick just a couple of picks later.
Oh, yeah. It got a little crazy in a good way. The Chicago Sky via the Phoenix Mercury selected South Carolina center Camila Cardoso. And then, as Paul just mentioned, the LA Sparks were up again via a trade and picks from the Seattle Storm, Rekia Jackson, which is a solid pick, the forward out of Tennessee. And I'm like, it's nice to see LA potentially be back.
This is not something that I also bring up very much. These ladies were serving some crazy awesome looks last night. Like, whether it was on the red carpet, the reason
Orange
I bring
carpet.
It up.
Orange carpet.
Yeah, you know what I mean. The reason I bring it up, though, is because Jackson had a straight-up costume change.
Yes, that's why I texted you guys. I was like, yes, girl. She had, like, red on the orange carpet. And then when they called her name, I was like, wait a minute.
This big,
she
sparkly
was wearing
silver.
Else.
And it looked incredible. She looked like a superstar. And she was not the only one. Camila got all dressed up and whatnot at 6'7". I had multiple group chats going that were like, there's a 6'7" player in this draft. So it was fun knowing that we had people who don't typically tune in for the draft tuning in for the draft. That was really, really cool. But also, yeah, I really like Jackson combine with Brink just because they complement each other well on the court. Cameron is one of the best, if not the best, front court defender in this draft. And then you add the offensive skills of Rekia in there, and it's scary hours, and it's a quick rebuild for the LA Sparks, which is nice to see.
Yeah, and just when you thought you were like, oh, that looks like a scary front court, wait till you hear about the pick coming up with a little bit as well. So with the fifth pick, the Dallas Wings via the Chicago Sky select J.C. Sheldon, guard out of Ohio State. At the sixth spot, Washington Mystics select Aaliyah Edwards, forward out of UConn, solid pick. And then, as I mentioned, with the third overall pick, Chicago Sky had picked up Camila Cardoso. With the seventh overall pick via the Minnesota Lynx, the Chicago Sky then select Angel Reese. Everyone's familiar with her name, but the forward out of LSU. And I'm like texting Paul, like, holy baloney. Like, I can't picture the Chicago Sky front court there. And Angel Reese said it as well. She's excited to play alongside Camila now because they've been going at it since high school. Phenomenal players, very passionate players, aggressive. Like, they just get in there. They're gritty. And now the two of them teaming up together in the front court for the Chicago Sky is just, I'm excited to see it. Again, it's nice to imagine that, as much as, you know, Paul and I like seeing our teams just purely dominate the league and then play each other again in the championship, it's nice to kind of see that it's going to start to spread out in talent. Hopefully they can figure out the situation soon to be able to keep a lot of this talent on their rosters, because if you guys aren't familiar, or if you think about a former basketball player Amy Atwell, who was drafted by the LA Sparks, but because there's such a limited amount of roster spots on these WNBA teams, you know, Amy now has to play professionally overseas, even though she has the talent to at least be rostered on the WNBA rosters. But it's just, that's how it is in the W. So hopefully with all of the surge in popularity, with popularity comes money, and they can figure out a way to expand the rosters, because if you look maybe like midway through the second round and on, it's up in the air whether or not these ladies will remain on their
respective
teams.
Probably less than 5% chance, to be totally honest with you, especially for teams who are going to be competing for a title this year, whether it's your Connecticut Sun, it's your New York Liberty, your Las Vegas Aces. Those teams typically don't have a ton of spots for young players because they're so loaded with veteran talent. And it's why we need to see an aggressive expansion of the WNBA. I'm not talking just two teams. I'm talking 4 to 8 teams joining the league. So it's not at 12, but rather 16 to 20. And then you continue your expansion from there. But at this point, there's too much talent. It's overflowing with talent in the W. And at this point, I mean, what professional league is more difficult to make than the WNBA? Like, a legitimate question for our listeners, for people on social media, people listening back to the podcast, like, shoot us a text or something, add us on socials, just because I'm curious what other people think, because in my opinion, the WNBA is one of, if not the most difficult professional league to make at this point, just for the scarcity of spots.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think in 10 years, like say they only expand two more teams within 10 years.
Would be a mistake, by the way.
It would be a mistake, but if that is the case, 10 years from now, because you have tons of, you know, little girls that are like, oh my goodness, I want to play basketball now, you know, because it's all over TV. I mentioned it before, like I'm guilty for not being entirely in tune with the W and women's basketball in general, because you just, for a long time when I was growing up, before you had streaming, you rarely ever could get it on TV. So it's just naturally, you know, you just don't gravitate towards the sport because it's not there for you to consume. Now it's everywhere. Now you'll get to see players that maybe would have played soccer like myself and they want to play basketball instead. So you have the talent level of this generation are now gravitating towards basketball. So you're going to have more talent in this sport.
Athletes.
And then you're just, you know, because then obviously the pay is going to go up in 10 years. So more so kids are going to be like, I want to play that. You're going to have more people like Camilla come over from other countries that want to make a living here. And you're going to have the pool of talent is just going to be, we think it's crazy now. In 10 years, it's going to be crazy. And I hope the W will do the, I mean, they're starting to, you can see it, but I mean, Sabrina, not Sabrina, Serena Williams even mentioned if the market is right, she wants to own a WNBA team. And I was like, sign her up. Let's go.
Well, that's the thing, man. There's plenty of interest. You have to strike while the iron is hot. And man, is it hot right now, especially considering, like we're saying, all this talent that's coming into the league. It's not like this is the last crop of incredibly talented players to come through. If you've been listening to this show, you've heard us talk about Paige Beckers, Juju Watkins, and the list goes on and on and on and on and on for talent who comes back next year, Azzie Fudd, and so on and so forth. Sarah Strong going to be at UConn, I haven't even mentioned a single one of the undefeated national champion Gamecocks. So it's like, there's just so much talent coming through through the women's pipeline right now, and you're right, Ku, where it's only going to continue growing as you see the game grow, you see it go further and further, and it attracts the top women athletes, whereas you might not have gotten that in the past, where you're right, they might go to another sport where I know that soccer also has a pay discrepancy, but you know, maybe you go to a soccer, maybe you go to some of these other sports, a softball, so on and so forth, because that is just a better option for you. You want to make it so that that's not the case anymore. And part of that is going to be their upcoming media rights negotiations. And if they can hammer that out and do a really nice job with that, that's when my four teams for expansion, perhaps more than four teams for expansion, that's when I look at that and I'm like, okay, now we're really growing.
Yeah, come on, you billionaires, even millionaires, because it's not as expensive as the other stuff. Into your investments now. Paul, how much money can we put together to own a WNBA team? Let's do it.
I've got like $300 for
us. Got it. We can do this. All right, rounding up the top 10, you have the Minnesota Lynx selecting Alyssa Peely, my girl, which I will tell you guys more about coming up in the next segment. Dallas Wings, Carla Light? She's from France.
Yes.
I think it's Light. Connecticut Sun select Leila Lacan, another player from
back-to-back
France.
French.
Yeah. New York Liberty select Markeisha Davis, guard out of Ole Miss. And then rounding out the first round with the number 12 pick, the Atlanta Dream via the Las Vegas Aces select Nadia Poch. Via Australia as a forward from the Southside Flyers. So a lot of, as I mentioned, international players and international talent that is only going to continue to grow and become more competitive in the W. But got to step aside. When we come back, I do want to share a clip for you guys from Alyssa Peely, the forward out of Utah, because I'm loving the Polynesian representation in the W, especially in the first round. So we will be right back on Wake Up in the Den.
Back to more Wake Up in the Den with Ku'ule Agbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
Welcome back to Wake Up in the Den. Ku'ule Agbayani and Paul Brecht recapping yesterday's WNBA draft as we continue the surge of popularity for the W and, of course, just women's college basketball in general. It was amazing to see, and not only from a basketball standpoint, and I think that's the coolest thing about women's sports is that we can talk about the sport and then we can also talk about the fashion, which is awesome. So it's kind of like my little tomboy slash but part of girly girl I have. My heart is full like watching the WNBA draft yesterday, because from the fits to the actual sports and highlights and everything, it was so much fun.
Well, we talk about all the time, and shout out to Coach Beeman, because it's partly what she has talked about, how these young women, part of what they need is to feel good and mm-hmm. feel like they look good and get an opportunity to like this. Because a lot of times I feel like women basketball players aren't looked at as these girly girls or whatever. They kind of, they almost lose that opportunity to have that feminine side of them as well, if they want to be great or good or quote, you know, I'm doing air quotes for people who obviously can't see because we're on radio. But it's cool for them because they get an opportunity to also show off that side of them, the fashion side of them, what they feel and how they want to look, be portrayed. And it's an opportunity for them to just kind of go out and do that. And it's not like, oh, she's so worried about her looks instead of playing basketball. It's very much so like, go be you, go rock out in this kick butt outfit. And man, were there some awesome fits last night.
And you know who rocked out the most? I might be a little biased, but my favorite, hands down, shout out for the Polynesian representation, Alyssa Peely, the forward out of Utah. She is of, so she's from Alaska. She is of Samoan descent. And then I can't pronounce it, so, and I don't want to butcher it, but it's I-N-U-P-I-A-Q. It's a group of indigenous Alaskans. So shout out to her. Just, she has this full, like, gorgeous leg sleeve tattoo. And then she wore this dress with the slit that shows off the leg tattoo. And then her, the skirt portion of her dress had, like, the tribal, beautiful tribal design. And I tweeted about it, and it's actually going quite viral. I'm like, oh, I didn't imagine my tweet to take off like that. But it just goes to show that the representation is true. And I wanted to talk about her. Actually, before I talk about her, here is what she had to say to Holly Rowe. Again, she was drafted number 8th overall by the Minnesota Lynx. But this is what she had to say or chat with Holly following her selection.
Well, Alyssa Peely, you have come so far from Alaska to Utah to Southern California to be here tonight. I know your whole family is here. Tell me what it means to you to be representing all of them.
It means everything. My family is everything to me, and they've helped me get here. Without them, I wouldn't be standing up on that stage, and, you know, I owe everything to them.
You have, everywhere I've seen you play this season, there are lines and lines and lines of people to get there and see you play, from your Samoan heritage, your Polynesian heritage, and your indigenous heritage. How are you inspiring people who are like you that this is possible?
You know, a lot of indigenous and Polynesian girls don't get to see that role model, and I'm just so blessed that I could be in the position to be that for them.
I love your beautiful, yes, yes. I love your beautiful tribal print skirt. This means something special to you tonight. How are you representing?
I'm just representing them with pride. You know, I had to include the tribal in my dress. And, you know, everything it took to get here, their support just pushed me through and, you know, really excelled me to get to this stage.
Okay, I'm going to quote Dawn Staley. They played you earlier this year, and she said, "We can't stop her." Good luck to everybody in the WNBA, and congratulations to Coach Lynn Roberts at Utah, who helped pour into you. How will you immediately impact the league?
I think just with my physicality and my versatility, you know, I'm willing to do whatever team needs me to, so I'm excited to just learn and grow from that.
Cheryl Reeve is absolutely going to love you. I know her style, and she is going to love you, which is why she drafted you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Woo! Shout out Alyssa Peely, who actually, before going to Alaska, or Alaska, Utah, was playing for USC. Like, could you imagine if she had stayed at USC this past season? Like, we could have seen USC for sure as national champs. It would have been insane, but she looked gorgeous. Again, representing the Samoans and just the Polynesian people, indigenous people. And I think that was just so awesome to see, especially here in Hawaii, right? We're used to the men, like being the Polynesian men, you know, being out there, being great at, you know, football, especially here, obviously Tua Tagovailoa and Marcus Mariota and everything. So I think it's so inspiring, and where you think about how much representation matters, because we're just not used to seeing a Polynesian woman on this stage getting drafted in the first round by the WNBA draft. And then it makes me think of, you know, some of the players out in Kahuku that we were able to cover, like Pussia Wiley, and though that family of basketball players, that having someone like Alyssa Pili that is there on the big stage. And I can imagine that we will start to see a lot more Polynesian women get, like, be more inspired. Again, we proud of all of the people that continue to be do big things, like the football players. But when I think back, like, wow, I probably would have, and that's where I really think about myself, where if back then I saw someone or I saw more women's basketball, maybe I would have gravitated toward playing basketball over soccer. But I mean, long story short, I got into soccer because of a movie I saw, The Big Green. And I fell in love with soccer, wanted to keep playing it because of the U.S. women's team that was plastered all over the TV at the Olympics, winning gold medals. So, you know, like as a young kid, you're like, I want to be like that. I want to be playing in the Olympics and be like these players and be the next Mia Hamm, you know, and that. And then I got into gymnastics for the same reason, because you saw it on the Olympics and it was the coolest thing ever. Didn't see too much of promotion about women's basketball, where now that's where I'm really stoked for not only women's sports and the sport of basketball, but also someone like Alyssa Pili, who is representing a Polynesian and indigenous people on the big stage, because it's not that common yet for the women of, you know, the Polynesian women, indigenous women. We see it all the time with the men, but to see Alyssa Pili on this big stage and with her representation of her leg sleeve, her beautiful tribal dress, oh, I can talk about it forever. I love her so much.
You hit the nail on the head, though, and it's something that we talk about a lot on this show, and that representation is important for, especially for young women, directly for the reason that you just said, where it can be inspiring to another generation, and all you need to do is see one person who looks like you, who has a similar story to you, and all of a sudden, it gives you that belief inside. And earlier in the show, I was talking a little bit about how with the league continuing to grow, you get, you know, maybe some of the best athletes that have gravitated towards other sports. And honestly speaking, the direct group that I was thinking about are these Poly girls, because you see such great athletic genes. I mean, the Samoan people in general are just absolutely loaded in athletics.
Just naturally strong.
Right. Like, they are incredibly athletic people and large people in general, where you put that in basketball and you can see the dominance that can come along with it. And it's cool to kind of set that path forward and be like, hey, you don't have to be pigeonholed or, you know, pegged into this square hole. You can do what you want. And I look like you. I've had similar experiences to you. And guess what? Here I am too. And I'm going to be successful. So it's just cool for Alyssa Pili. It's cool for people of Polynesian descent and young women of Polynesian descent, just to see, like we said, and it's the buzzword that keeps on giving. It's that representation that goes such a long way and can inspire another generation.
Yeah. And like I said, just her outfit of choice was even more inspiring, that she was proud of it. And if you guys haven't seen it, you can look it up online. Like I mentioned, I was like, whoa, I posted just screenshot of from like a video that I noticed from WNBA. I was like, oh, I just need to grab that still shot and post it, because I'm like so happy to see this representation of the Polynesian culture and native culture. And then I woke up this morning, I'm like, whoa, where did all these notifications come from? So again, clearly it's something that's a big deal. We're always going to talk about, you know, Caitlin Clark, obviously, but I just wanted to make sure I saved a good portion of the show giving flowers to Alyssa Pili for what she is no doubt doing for this, like, such small minority group of people in the United States and all over the world, really.
It's something that was talked about a lot by people who are actually fans of women's basketball, in that we love Caitlin Clark. That is number one, first and foremost. I do not want to get that twisted at all. But a lot of frustration during March Madness came from people who understood these awesome stories that are also there. There are so many awesome young women and awesome stories and paths to professional sports, to this high level. And Alyssa Pealey is just another example of it. And that's part of the reason why, to push and grow the game even more, you can't just be lazy and just talk Caitlin Clark. Yeah. That's lazy.
Yeah. The only thing that would have made it even better if the Las Vegas Aces drafted Alyssa Pealey, but it's okay. I'll be an honorary Minnesota Lynx fan for now. And
Who's being greedy over there? Who's like, ooh, I want a top eight player Aces in the draft.
They didn't pick till the second round, and oh, they got really good players in the second round.
Yeah, get out of here. Get out of my face.
Three-time back-to-back-to-back
this
champions.
Gal, send us to break.
All
my
right.
God.
Yes. That'll wrap up our WNBA conversation for now, as the season is like just around the corner, so it's going to be a fun one.
It's really crazy how quick they make these girls go from playing in college to pro.
You know who would be able to handle it? Our women, that's why. So they're like, you guys can handle it. Yes, we can.
Never a doubt.
Give us more. All right, so we'll be right back to our switch gears to talk about the NBA play-in tournament games, because that's coming up today. Which team is going to get knocked out today? We'll talk about that when we come back on Wake Up in the Den.
Wake Up in the Den with Kuhle Ogbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
Welcome back to all of you, the beautifulest of all the beautiful people. It's Wake Up in the Den alongside DJ Pauly B. I'm Kuhle Ogbayani. Mahalo for tuning in this and every weekday morning on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM, AM 760, and HawaiiSportsRadio.com. Feel free to give us a text, not only while we're live, but also if you listen to the podcast version at 808-888-KGU1. That's 808-888-5481 if you guys want to chime in. We spent the first half talking about WNBA and then gave a lot of flowers to Alyssa Pealey for representing the Polynesian women in the WNBA draft. Also want to shout out our very own Jackie David here at the University of Hawaii, a women's basketball program. And she keeps doing her thing, representing the Polys as well. And obviously not taken away from Lili Wahine Kapu and all of the other young women that are part Polynesian. But I just talk about Jackie because she has like the same similar look and build as Alyssa Pealey. So don't get it twisted.
Mindset too.
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
in general,
she's like a dog, man.
Right. Arr! I look at both of them and I'm like, I would not want to cross them on the court. Like, they make it scary to go down into the paint.
Who was talking about her at the dinner? And then she's like, oh, and you know, because Jackie's a little, was it
I think
Viv?
It was Viv.
Yeah, it was Viv. And she's like, you know, she's kind of scary sometimes. And it's just so funny. Oh, that was like the best, seeing all the players talk about each other. Anywho, also, if you guys are still interested in University of Hawaii men's basketball updates, reminder that you can go to HawaiiSportsRadio.com, and Paul here is actually keeping a tracker for all of you that you guys can check out. And from time to time, we'll move it up on the local sports tab so you guys can get it right there. Yeah, so a lot of stuff going on. Go to HawaiiSportsRadio.com. Bunch of stuff for you guys to check out. But going to switch gears now to the NBA. All right. Couple of games coming up today and tomorrow. First game up of the play-in tournament today will be the 7-8 matchup, the LA Lakers at New Orleans Pelicans. That game at 1:30 p.m. on TNT, and then followed by the 9th versus 10th seed in Golden State at Sacramento, following that game at around 4 o'clock p.m. If you take a look at the odds, the Lakers are actually the underdog against the Pelicans, +1.5. So still not a huge underdog, but underdog nonetheless. And the Warriors are the 2.5-point favorite at Sacramento today, which is so weird to see. I mean, it's crazy to think that Golden State could essentially be out of the playoffs should they lose today. We talked about it a little bit yesterday, how the play-in tournament works, where this 9-10 matchup, whoever loses is completely out of the tournament, and then whoever wins will go on to play the loser of the 7-8 matchup. And then the 7-8 winner slides into the 7 seed of the NBA playoffs. I got it.
See, easy enough.
I was like, I got it. And this time it was all up here. I remembered it.
Yeah. The way I always typically remind myself of it, your reward for finishing in the top 8, the 7-8 spot, is that you have 2 chances to win 1 game. Your non-reward, I don't know how to phrase it. Your punishment for finishing 9th or 10th, you have to win 2 games to make it into the playoffs.
I think
it's fair.
Yeah,
100%. You provide an extra opportunity to get in, but it's a little bit more difficult. And nonetheless, when you are the Warriors, all you want is a chance. All you think to yourself is, we have championship DNA. Just let us in. And from there, all you got to do is win games. Got to do that anyway. That's part of the reason why with my Knicks, I was happy that they got the 2 seed, because one way or another, you're going to have to beat a bunch of really good teams in the playoffs, and that's just something that the play-in really has continued to magnify, is that every single one of these teams that makes the playoffs are very, very good.
Oh, yeah. This is when the NBA season starts. I know I joke and say that all the time, but that's what it feels like. This is when I will start watching more NBA games. Tomorrow's play-in tournament matchup on the East, you will have the 7-8 matchup between Miami at Philadelphia. Philadelphia, the 4.5-point favorite. And then you'll have Atlanta, the 9-10 matchup, Atlanta at Chicago Bulls. Chicago is the 3.5-point favorite. Taking a look at the futures, Paul. No surprise, the Boston Celtics, I shouldn't say blah, because that's, I technically have to cheer for that team in our household if the Orlando Magic do not go on very far. But
you two might play each other.
I know, that's what's crazy,
by the way.
House divided. We haven't had that instance since now our teams are kind of on the decline for the NHL, but there's been multiple times in the NHL playoffs where the Pittsburgh Penguins, my team, and the Washington Capitals, his team, have played each other. So it's not a situation that we aren't accustomed to, but it's weird to see it in basketball because Orlando has just like not been in it. I don't think for like the entire time we've been together. I have to think about it. Maybe like a long time ago.
I'm trying to think about the Penguins and how the heck you would have gotten that.
Oh, Sidney Crosby.
Okay. I mean, fair. Totally fair. I'm just sitting here. I'm like,
That's probably my least interesting story of why I'm a fan of a certain team.
Well, just because I sit here and I'm like, you know, you're a Chicago fan for baseball. You've got your Magic in basketball. I don't know. I was just curious.
Yeah.
You know,
Sidney Crosby is pretty much it. That's why amongst my friends and stuff, I'm like, wow, it's going to be weird because when Sidney retires, which is likely pretty soon, it's going to be Vegas.
About that. Oh, no. Oh, I haven't even thought about that. I'm not. With John Sterling retiring, yes, I'm not ready for this whole crop of my childhood like people.
Hold that thought. We're going to talk about that in the next segment, actually.
I will, but
to close it out.
Overall,
you
Sidney
asked
Crosby.
About the Pittsburgh Penguins, which is crazy to think of retirement because Sidney and I are the same age. And I'm just like, but I don't play one of the most brutal sports out there. So I'm like,
you got
how
a lot
the heck,
of miles left
how the heck
voice.
Is that guy still playing hockey to this point? And he's had multiple like head injuries, but shout out Sidney Crosby. But I think when he retires, I'll probably just become a full blown Vegas Golden Knights fan, I guess.
I think that's probably
going to be
good
the
plan
thing
for you. But either way, yeah, might be the
or
Magic.
A Blackhawks fan because I do like
Chicago,
Connor Bedard
Chicago
too.
And all that.
Mm. Anyways, looking at the futures, the Boston Celtics, as we go back to basketball, the Boston Celtics are the current betting favorite to win it all at +180. The Nuggets not far behind at 3-1. And then there's a significant drop off of being the Clippers at 12-1, Bucks at 14-1. The Thunder, which is interesting that they're way down here at 16-1, considering they are the number one seed in the West. And then, yep, it just keeps going down from there. Paul's Knicks are 35-1 behind, or not behind, but the exact odds as the Lakers to win it all.
So Okay. One, I get it because, like,
it's been a while.
Well, you're missing Julius Randle. You're missing an all NBA player in that sense. You've been hurt for a big portion of the year. You're going against the team with the best record in the league, should you make it all the way to the conference finals, and the Celtics, and I get all that. But I'm going to have to put a sprinkle on it.
I don't understand why they could have the same odds as the Lakers. Like, I get, like, all the reasons you just mentioned. I get them not being close to, like, being a favorite to win it all. Pretty much a long shot. But I'm like, that feels a little disrespectful to have the same type of odds as the Lakers. My goodness, who are in the play-in tournament. And then the Knicks are there at 35-1. But anyways,
it's because the bettors and the national media can't quit the Lakers, first off.
That's I can't quit you.
It's like, that's the truth of it all.
Looking at our other teams of the station. Hello, Orlando. My Orlando Magic are actually behind Michael Lescaro's Indiana Pacers, and the Magic are 150-1. The Pacers are 125-1.
I mean,
I ain't getting no respect.
So I sit here and I'm like trying to think of the rationale behind it, and
maybe it's just matchup wise if they continue. I mean, the Cavs are 40-1 who the Magic play in the first round.
Yeah, but it's
so they're probably thinking the Magic are going to get knocked out by
the
Cavs.
But the Bucks, they're playing the Bucks, and they have the Bucks way up there, even though the Bucks stink. At 14-1, is that what you said it was? Something along those lines?
Yeah.
I sit here and you take the Pacers over that? I understand the Pacers have kind of had the Bucks number this year, but also maybe it's because I'm a hater of the Cavs. I do not think that the Cleveland Cavaliers are built for playoff success. I think they're too soft, and I really like what Jamal Mosley has done down in Orlando. I think the Magic have an actual identity. Part of it is that defensive identity. So I really like the Magic. They almost remind me of like last year's Knicks, or like 2 or 3 years ago's Knicks, where it's like, are they great? No, but they're pretty good, and they play really, really hard, and they got a superstar. So I don't know. I get it. In general, you should just bet on the Knicks to win it all. So, you know, that's the easiest way to make some money this.
I'd probably just have
June.
To like sprinkle a bit on the Clippers. I still don't
That's
think
smart. I can't quit the Clippers.
I can't. I mean, they just have so much talent.
And it's top end talent too. Because like all these teams have pretty great talent where it's like, oh, they've got a star, they've got a pretty good bench or whatever. But it's the top end talent that just makes it so hard for me to quit the Clippers. Because they have James Harden, they have Kawhi Leonard, they have Paul George, they have guys who can play out on the wing with guard skill. And me personally, that's something that I gravitate towards, even towards the college game. It's a big reason why I was so excited when Justin McCoy committed here last year, just because I like guys who can do both inside and out, show a little bit of guard skill along with the ability to bang down low, bang inside. And that's what all of those guys do exceptionally well. So I cannot quit the Clippers.
This 6-1 for the Clips to win the West is actually...
That's kind of
tempting.
A little tantalizing.
I'm on like this high of like if you're just picking them to win like the East or the West, just considering that worked out very well for me for the San Francisco 49ers.
True.
Because I'm like, I don't know if I want to have confidence for them to win it all, depending on who they would play. Obviously the Chiefs, and I wouldn't have could have hedged it if I had the Niners, which would have worked out. But I was like, can the Clips at least win the West? Yeah. Can they beat the Celtics? I don't know. So it'd be one of those.
Yeah, I think so.
And anytime it's plus money, it looks a lot of fun.
That's the biggest part.
Where
of it
like, so the Celtics to win the East are -175. So you're like, that's not fun.
No, I mean, they should be that level of favorite. They are the most complete team I maybe have ever seen. That said,
it's
they're
so
soft.
It's so weird because, like I said, I should be excited because... That's the household that
you guys are playing
Celtics
each other
fans,
in the semifinals. I'm telling you that right now.
That would be so crazy. It would be a lot of, it'll be wild. All right. Got to step aside. We'll be back to close things out and have Paul Breck take us down memory lane. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back on Wake Up in the Den.
Wake Up in the Den with Kuhle Agbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
Welcome back to Wake Up in the Den, Kuhle Agbayani and Paul Brecht. Before I have Paul take us through memory lane, I did see an interesting and kind of funny tweet that came through. We were talking a lot about the WNBA in the first half of the show. If you missed it, you can listen on demand at HawaiiSportsRadio.com or wherever you get your podcasts. But this was via Spotrac. The big difference between Caitlin Clark's $76,000 salary and yours, she supplements her salary with a $1 million paycheck from Panini Trading Cards. And you supplement yours by selling her rookie card on eBay. Woo! That hits home because, you know, like we were just actually talking about it where, and if you guys have been listening to the show for a long time, you know that I'm very much into like the sports trading card landscape. So, and I've said this before, where buying sports cards and selling them are, if you're in the hobby to make money, it's essentially a form of legal gambling. And I've said it the last couple of seasons, Panini just started making WNBA cards. And that WNBA was probably like the best investment bang for your buck because compared to the other sports like NFL and NBA, like you could spend like $2,500 on like a hobby box, which comes with a lot of cards. But the true value that you get out of that box, if all you were thinking of is like flipping it, you might get cards that are essentially worth nothing. So, but with the WNBA box, it was maybe, I think it was like 150, couple hundred bucks, but you would always get like either players that were really good or the Sabrina Ionescu rookie year, you would get at least one, maybe a couple Sabrina cards that you could easily flip and make back your money right away, or you could hold on to it, make even more money down the road. But with the popularity, sadly, of which is good, but the only sad part about the popularity of the W and women's basketball is that now we can expect those sports cards to go up in price, like the boxes. And I just hope they don't get as high as what we see, the ridiculous and exorbitant amount that you get for NBA and NFL cards. But it's definitely going to go up a lot. So I'm kind of bummed because I really do enjoy opening the boxes and the value that the WNBA boxes provided. The fairer value if you just were to buy the box. And now I'm like, oh my gosh, is it going to get crazy where it's like that fair value? And then it's not fair value, but also they just limit the amount of like good players or star players that you even get. So even if you're just, you can afford to have your kids like open the boxes, like a lot of the players that you get are just like, I don't want to say bench players, but they're not the stars.
They're role players.
Which, and a lot of times if people are familiar with the hobby, the rookie cards are essentially worth the most, right? So like you could be opening up a box and like maybe get none of Steph Curry at least. You know what I mean? Like it's not the base card of Steph. It's not going to be worth a whole lot. But at least when you're opening it, you're like, oh, I got a Steph Curry card.
Like, oh, I got my favorite player.
Yeah. But it's like, it's ridiculous. But that it just made me think of like, oh no, it's going to be so expensive.
It is going to be
scary. It's going
to
be so sad. But yeah, shout out Caitlin, $1 million from Panini to have her name, image, likeness. Ooh, because she left Iowa and losing out on so much money.
Yeah,
and
she's never going to make another endorsement dollar again, guys.
Anywho, that's looking into the future. But looking into the past, our Paul Brecht here. Let me set this up for him. The radio play-by-play announcer, John Sterling, announced his retirement. Sorry, radio play-by-play announcer for the New York Yankees, Paul's favorite team, announced his retirement. For all of our local people here, it would be similar to those that are Dodgers fans and, you know, reminisce about Vin Scully retiring, or you only keep up with local baseball and it's like when Don Robbs retired. You just have voices that are synonymous with their respective sports that they called for years and years and years. But John Sterling announced his retirement and Paul Brecht is still in his feelings.
I'm going to be in my feelings for a while about it, just for plenty of different reasons. One, you're right. You set it up beautifully where it's a voice that becomes synonymous with the sport. It's one where you grow an appreciation for the memories that come with the voice being the background. And it just becomes an ode to John Sterling from my end, because in my life, I've been very, very blessed to go to a bunch of different ballparks and take a ton of different family vacations with my family. And oftentimes those trips were narrated essentially by John Sterling and by Susan Waldman. Shout out to our women in the industry. But John, John is as special as they come. He had a unique style, called over 5,600 games, 5,600 games, 200 of which came in the playoffs. And some of the most iconic Yankees moments in the history of the sport. It was truly a pleasure to listen to him. And it's one of those things that you listen to other people's stories. You listen to his coworkers and how they felt about him. You're just happy that he's going out on his terms, that he made this decision, that he decided it's time, and he's happy with the fact that he's calling it a career now at this point. And he gets to just enjoy the rest of the season sitting back from his apartment. He didn't enjoy it anymore, and I'm glad that when he didn't enjoy it anymore, he decided it's time to get out.
Yeah. And who are they replacing him with for now?
Justin Shackle. You don't know Justin yet, but Justin does a very, very nice job. Oh,
that's good. I mean, they wouldn't replace him with just anybody, and I'm sure it was in the works for a very, very long time in anticipation of John Sterling being ready to go. All right, well, we got to go. So for Paul Brecht, I'm Kuule Ugbayani. Mahalo for listening. Bye.